Welcome, guys, to the fifth episode of our podcast, The Joycast, brought to you by us, Joysticks Entertainment. I am your host, Amaterasu, a.k.a. Kunle, joined with my lovely co-hosts, Torin Senpai, a.k.a. Rotimi, St. Ben 91, a.k.a. Delapo, and Shy Sly Dude, a.k.a. Shy Sly Dude.
You're the one that was showing that you don't want your name on there. So why are you complaining?
I was the one that said I wanted my name out there. Please call me Babs.
All right. So you heard him. Shout out to Dude, aka Babs. So we got three very interesting topics for you today. The first one is influx of remakes into the market. We're seeing remakes everywhere. Resident Evil 1. No, sorry, not 1. 2, 3, 4 is coming out. And we've got, obviously, Final Fantasy VII, and we even got tons of remasters coming out, so we're going to delve into that topic. Number two, the Crysis remaster. It was once the Laptop Destroyer. Would the remake, I keep on saying remake, would the remaster push our consoles to the limit? All right. And then finally, number three, should cross-platform with PC be encouraged? Those are our three interesting topics for you today, and we are ready to dive right into the first one. Number one, influx of remakes into the market. What do you guys think?
I mean, it's like, I don't want to say it's easy money because it's not easy, like, in terms of these things are hard to make, but then it's also easy in terms of, like, you know, people
it's
are going to buy
money.
This stuff.
It's
like,
easy money. Instance,
like, Final Fantasy VII Remake just announced that it, like, sold, what, 3.5 million units in 3 days. And it was like, and everybody was like, oh, wow.
It is.
I was like, yeah, obviously, it's Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's like, what did you expect? What did anybody expect? So it's like, I mean, I know they get it wrong sometimes, but usually remakes like this are easy money because fans have been crying out for them for years previously anyway. So people are definitely going to buy them. So it's I think it's less of a risk for developers because they know people are going to get these things anyway.
Yeah, and I think the trend is going to continue.
I don't know if I agree with that because this remake is different from every other kind of remake that has come out to date. It's so different in so many ways, and it set the bar, the combat system, the way it's fleshed out the side characters. So it's fleshed out like so much. The side characters, the combat system, the graphics, the music, everything is just so much better than everything that's come out. Like, it's not just a re-remake with the exact same thing. They've done a whole lot of things and it's just so much better and it set the bar.
I think the key thing here is, first of all, I want to agree with St. Ben 91 when he said a lot of people are going to buy it anyway because fans have been asking for it. That's a very good point. Fans have been asking for games like Final Fantasy VII Remake for years.
Yep.
For years, they've been asking for it. Since the PS2 era, they've been like, put it on PS2. Put it on PS3. Put it on PS4. Finally, we got it. Finally, we got the Taylor. We got it. Okay, so now, to talk about what Shy Sly Dude was saying, you're right, FF7 does flesh out the characters a lot, but I wouldn't say it does it better than most remakes. I think it's better than a remaster. Right? I think it's definitely better than a remaster. But I think, you know, the Resident Evil games, you know, you walk in the fine line here, right? You have to say it's true enough to the original source content so fans don't ostracize you. And you have to give it a bit more jazz.
Yeah, expansion on the lore. Flesh out the lore.
Yeah, exactly. So for example, I wouldn't say everyone would appreciate FF7 Remake being as different as it was from the original. So is that fine line? But you're right, Shy Sly Dude. In terms of the FF7 Remake, I think they really hit home. There's enough nostalgia for those who want nostalgia. There's enough... it's a really familiar game, but it's a completely different game. And yeah, I think that's key.
I think, but I also think the trend of remasters and remakes is going to continue. For like Ben said, it's easy money. and it's just playing, it's pulling our nostalgia, string as gamers. Look at, case in point, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, I think two, they just released the camp, they had the audacity to just release a campaign. Couldn't even flesh it out with multiplayer. But they're just like, yeah, you guys really love this story. Here it is on PS4, Xbox One. But you at the same time, while you are still playing Warzone. So
exactly. When you have Warzone and Call of Duty like multiplayer, why do you need and there's even Modern Warfare 1 multiplayer.
Something just
so,
occurred
like,
to me.
Why do you need
something just occurred to me, like what if they decide to use like Modern Warfare as like, well, like a platform when you just add DLC to, like, okay, so they'll be like, they've done Modern Warfare 2's campaign, so they'll just do the one for Modern Warfare 3, and all of a sudden, maybe like Black Ops 2. They just keep adding campaigns of older games into it.
But I get what you're saying.
That makes sense. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but what's the difference is that that's not what they're doing. It's legit a standalone game separate from the Warzone universe.
Oh.
That's what they've done.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we understand that. Yeah, we understand that. So I think that's fair. I mean, what they did was they updated Modern Warfare 2 campaign with assets from this new Modern Warfare, essentially.
Yeah.
So you'll see new silk models. You'll see the same price model as from Modern Warfare, the reboot. To be honest, is Modern Warfare a reboot? Like, is that a remake as well?
Yeah.
Let's think about that.
Now, the Modern Warfare is a soft reboot.
Yeah. So I think when the way I look at the whole remake / reboot market, it's just like in movies. How many movies have they remade?
True.
You know, and people get excited about some of them. Like I think it's because it's like we can't forget that we're now growing up and having lots of responsibilities. And it's like, we used to be the target market. We're not the target market anymore. And when you have young gamers who are probably like not really too, like, I'm sure there's like one or two that enter into vintage games and whatnot. But a lot of them are probably like, Sega Genesis, what? Like, what? So when you have new kids coming in the block, and it's an opportunity to show them old stories by love by others, but in a completely new setting. And then, of course, the hardcore fans who've been waiting for this visualization will come in and buy into it. So it's a win-win situation. I agree with you, Torrance Empire. I don't see why they would change this model.
Like for instance,
it's just a sign of changing times.
Like the Trials of Mana remake, I think it's coming out either today or tomorrow.
Today.
Oh yeah, okay, today and the day of the
today.
Yeah, okay. So it's like for a lot of people that nowadays the current like okay so. If you are 18 years old this year, that means you were born in when? I'm bad at math. But that means you were born in, 2002? If I'm not mistaken, if you're mm-hmm. turning 18. And it's like, in 2002, the SNES was not really a thing. And Trials of Mana, I think, came out of the SNES. So it's like you said, we are no longer the target. Like a lot of people nowadays, their first consoles are like PS1s or PS2s. So you have to imagine that those are the people that are kind of targeting, but they're depending on getting money from us old fogies that play things on the SNES. Which, speaking of which, I never played Trials of Mana on the SNES, but I do want to play this remake because I just enjoy it, actually.
It didn't come out in the West.
Did it not? Oh.
It did not come out in the West.
Sure, I should know this. I'm the Nintendo guy. Oh, I didn't even realize. Okay.
I'm not so sure, but there's a difference between this remake and Final Fantasy VII remake. That one just is total nostalgia and it keeps everything, the battle system and all that. So compared to FF7 that just revamped everything, this is almost like just upgraded graphics, but it left the original.
You can't say this is just quote unquote upgraded graphics. You're talking from a 2D game to a 3D. That one I will fight you on it. Like what?
How do you fight me on it? You didn't play the original. Why are you fighting me for?
I've seen videos of the original. I have seen it's a low budget Square remake. Obviously, like you can't compare the budget of an SF7 remake to the budget of Child of Mana. I mean, come on, no. But to say that they just took improved graphics. They took it from a 2D game to a 3D world and everything that comes with it.
I played the demo and the voice acting was not it. It was so bad.
The first game didn't even have a voice acting. It was on the SNES. So you can't even...
But like this is a remake. Yeah, that's what I said. It's a low-budget remake.
Obviously, it's a low-budget remake now, but you cannot just say that all they did was upgraded graphics. No, that's...
All they did was upgraded graphics.
Sorry. Okay, guys, we're at the 10-minute mark, so it's time to move on to our next topic. All right, so our next topic is... Drum roll, please. So, they once called it, well, the game to bring every single gaming PC to its knees. Christ.
It broke man.
I really don't understand why a game is solely on its ability to test your graphics capability and not like the gameplay.
The game is literally school.
But the game was actually really good as well. It's actually one of the first games
seriously. I remember back in uni, yeah. Someone brings in their laptop and they're like, "Shit, I got this cool new laptop." They're like, okay, can you play Crysis? We load it up. play it with that high performance.
Oh, wow.
Play it with, oh my gosh. Humble the individual. So,
but honestly, this time we're not going to be getting that kind of thing anymore. Go ahead. To be honest,
when everything I heard about Crysis, I never heard anyone talk about the gameplay. Exactly. All I heard throughout 1 to 3 is that, oh, the PC cannot run this. Consoles are having issues running this. I never heard anything about the gameplay or how awesome the game itself was. It was just... they can't run the game. Some games are crashing. PCs, consoles are crashing. They can't play. That's all
right. Exactly. Like, I have never heard anything about the gameplay of this game. It's only, oh, wow, it looks pretty. It's destroying computers. Computers are catching fire. But how does this game play? Nobody has ever spoken about it.
But Kunle clearly platinumed it.
Yeah, I platinumed it. So it was a really good game. And I was really happy when they were able to bring it to consoles because obviously I didn't play.
Kole did not tell us anything about gameplay. He just said it is really good. Like, we don't know how it is.
Let me finish. Thank you.
What is the most memorable thing that happened in that game?
Okay, so there are lots of things that we can do in that game. First of all, right, I like the fact that the game was completely like open world.
Yeah,
the
open world sandbox.
The things that like, I am telling you what I, you're asking me what I remember about
the story. Like, the most memorable story event in that game, what was it?
The whole thing is a memorable fucking story.
Oh my god.
You're on an island investigating, you're on a Korean island? It's like a Korean island or something like that. Investigating, what's it called? An alien spacecraft. You get these really cool suits. You're super powerful. You're basically, what was the first guy's name? It wasn't Prophet, but yeah, Prophet. Yeah, you're Prophet. So it was your Prophet. You feel powered. You get all the power. It's like, it's really all about the gameplay experience, right? The story was there and it was fun enough and it went far enough, right? But it wasn't really about the story. It was about, okay, cloak engaged. It was about strength engaged. All the different things you could do with the suit. You could sneak. You could go gung ho. You could approach the missions any freaking single way you want. Like, I'm pretty sure Horizon Zero Dawn as a game would not exist today if Crysis did not come.
That's a bold claim.
Bold.
That's for the people who are able to get systems that could play Crysis. I think the reason that you always hear about this, because a lot of people couldn't play it, right? But then once it came to consoles, everybody could play it. So, and it was a good game. Like, it sold really well. And
I never heard about it. Really well. I heard about it on console.
As someone that appreciates a good story and love like games with a narrative structure and appreciates good writing to a level, this game is a pass. I mean, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I did play it at your house once. And no, I think it was Crisis 3. And it looked really pretty, but I don't think I'd be able to finish it. I think I might just be like, not because of, I'll just be like, eh. I won't have any motivation to finish it. That's the thing.
Okay, but it has a very compelling story, yeah, especially Crisis 2.
Yeah, but I asked you about Crisis 1 and you couldn't tell me the most memorable story.
No, so I was telling you, like, it's not about, like, it's a whole experience. Like, you don't, it's not told in a, what's it called? It's not told in a singular fashion. So yes, you have parts of the thing where, you know, your team being taken over and you're experiencing the melding with the suit and you're connecting to the hive alien mind and you're experiencing all these things. It's a long story and you just experience it all throughout. It's like, it's the experience of being taken over by that suit.
I'm going to explain Final Fantasy VII this way to the next person to ask me.
Yeah, I'm just looking for trouble. Okay, like for instance, does the story have your basic three-act structure? Okay,
yes,
so let's, assuming it does, Act 2's end would be like the lowest point of the character's life. What happened at that point?
Okay, I mean, I don't know story arcs as well as you do, doing like what's the lowest parts of a character's life, but like,
did he lose his suit at any point? Did he get malfunctioned?
No. Once your suit is on, you can't take it off unless you die.
How do you pee?
Separated from it, right? Oh, it's very painful. You don't need to do any of those things again.
You can say this if you want to, but I'm like, so you're saying that if I wear that suit, I will lose the satisfaction of taking it like a massive dog. I'm sorry, but that's a no for me.
Okay. All right. So, anyway, before we waste all our time talking about, before you guys attacking me, by because the funny thing I find is that you haven't played the game, but see, Venom is like, oh, I'll write it off. I couldn't play it. And you don't, like, actually, as a story, you have actually never played it or tried it. All you have to do is go to YouTube and check out Crisis Story, and you'll get your story, even if I can't explain it as best as I can. What I know is I enjoyed playing that game so very much, right, all throughout. And that's why I now got, when I got a gaming PC, I got Crisis 2 and I got Crisis 3.
Maybe I'm being harsh for the. I'm just saying, like, it's just something that just stood out to me. The fact that when everybody talks about Crisis, it's always the graphics. Nobody.
All your PS4 game pipelines, the Crisis is the thing that changed the game, right? CryEngine changed the game. All these beautiful FF7 remakes you're seeing now. If it wasn't for Crisis, you wouldn't be seeing these things.
I'm not saying that that's not true. But like, I don't know. For me, games have always been more than look. Some of my favorite games, like visually, they're not like groundbreaking. Hollow Knight is not anything groundbreaking visually. Actually, it kind of is because the art style is amazing. But it's a 2D game. It's not like,
That's a reach. A reach.
That what? It's one of my favorite games. Is a reach? Are you really going to tell me one of my favorite games?
You said the graphics is unique.
Sorry, what?
It is not.
Oh, sorry.
You said the graphics or the art style.
I like the art style, but it's like I said, it's nothing that is going to like cause somebody's PC to start emitting smoke. It is not graphically
I agree with you.
But I like how it looks a lot, and it's a 2D game.
I wonder how the Switch is going to run this Crisis. It would be fun to see.
So I think that's one of the main things. So it's actually, you know, CryEngine has improved. We're on CryEngine 5 now, right? So CryEngine is now very scalable. It's not the same thing that was melting pieces of before.
That crying for full version.
Right? So I think, the fact that it's going to run all the way from the Switch to, you know, PC you can tell that it's going to be okay. I think Warface is another game that uses CryEngine and it's currently on the Switch.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. But they have to do a lot of work. I read about that. They have to do like a lot. The company that ported it have to do a lot of work to make it work on Switch.
I'm sure, but now they've probably created all these tools and etc. That's probably just extended, you know, CryEngine 5, and now
you're right.
We get Crysis. So yeah, so
maybe we'll soon get all the Far Cry.
But so what I wanted to say though is I don't think Crysis will be melting anybody's PCs anytime soon. Although I'm sure you'll be able to get a lot of mileage out of it if you have a very, very high-end PC. But it should be very, very scalable across all things. And yeah, maybe you should check it out this time on your Switch even to see whether it's worth it.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to buy Crysis from Ostep. No, not because I hate it or hate it, just because like in terms of priority, there are other games. I mean, it sounds crappy the way he said it, but kind of how he said it, because like it's not high on my priority. You know what I'm like? The only first person shooter that I play right now is Apex.
It's fine.
So I'm not saying if I had like a lot of money that I could just pour out on games, I'll literally buy it and check it out. But like because I don't, resources are limited, I will prioritize. And it will not make, it unfortunately will not make my personal priority. But I will look up videos on YouTube at the highest resolution possible on my system, or I bring an original Kenyan and see what prices on Twitch looks like. I'm trying to be interesting.
Okay. All right, so that's anybody. Any other thoughts on Crysis apart from how much it sucks?
Come on, don't be like that.
No, I'm just joking. But like, any other thoughts? I know Rotimi's been rather quiet ever since the beginning of this topic.
Yeah.
For me, I don't think it sucks. I just feel like let's see what it's like after release, and let's see if everything can run it properly.
When is it coming out, even?
Yeah, I guess that's the key.
When is it coming out?
They haven't announced. They just said it's coming.
No date yet. Yeah.
Speculation
is September 2020.
Yeah, it was basically leaked like nobody's business, right? So basically, even the trailer for it leaked before the official announcement. So once the trailer leaked, they announced it the next day.
CryEngine wants to cry.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. So next topic.
All right, so our next topic is crossplay, PC and consoles. Should that be encouraged? Especially considering some PC, a lot of people can cheat very easily on PC platforms, like in Call of Duty Warzone.
So easily.
What are your thoughts on
all shooters?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on crossplay?
For shooters, it's a massive ass no from me. Like, anything else, sure. Monster Hunter, MMOs, by all means. But for shooters, no. Absolutely not. Get that nonsense out of here. We don't want it.
So, I would say for everything, it should be a no. Because, okay, let me give an example of one Street Fighter mod that happened. So, basically, the person increased the size of Zangief to, like, he was bigger than the whole screen and only his feet was like on the stage. And all he did was just do like kick, and the other player couldn't do anything, who was clearly on PS4. And they patched that. But I'm just saying, at one point, PC players always do a lot of shit. And whether it's cheaters or they mod the game and all that stuff, but they just always find a way to break the game.
But should you be able to use a modded game online?
Yeah, you should. So there's a difference between modding a game and cheating. Usually modding games is usually, especially on PC, usually revolves around things like, you know, character skins, improving, making things photorealistic, you know, changing the environments and whatnot. So if you go online and you look at some high-level gameplay, basically, you'll see different costumes that were never made by what's it called? Like Capcom, for example. Let's use Street Fighter. Let's use Street Fighter 5, for example. You can find so many costumes online, right? but doesn't change anything about the gameplay whatsoever. It doesn't change the hitbox, doesn't change your movement speed.
It actually changes stuff. It changes the hitbox.
It doesn't. The costumes don't change the hitbox at all.
It does. Even Capcom has banned some costumes from their actual tournaments because they extend hitboxes. So I disagree heavily with that. You saying that they do not affect.
If you say so, but I don't think it affects it.
Hold on. Wait a minute. You were going to say something back there.
Yeah, I can't recall, but I feel we should not. What's it called again? You shouldn't punish everybody for the tiny few.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my stand. I feel cross platform should be encouraged. Not everybody can afford to buy all three platforms to play a game. Yeah. And we have multiple friends. I have an Xbox, you guys have PlayStation, Kunle has a PC, and we want to play Call of Duty. I can't buy a PlayStation. You know, it doesn't make sense for me to buy a PlayStation, then buy Call of Duty just so I could play with my guys online. No. So cross platform is the way. What I would say, however, is that there should be mitigation from the developer's end, which are things I've seen like, reducing the sensitivity for a mouse if you're using the PC, and the onus should be on the developers to streamline their codes or whatever so that people don't hack and cheat, because there would always be hackers, there would always be cheats. It is human freaking nature. So don't punish. So it's just like saying, oh, all of us are playing on the PC, so we shouldn't play online because exactly. There are some cheats on the PC. There are some cheaters on the PC, so PC gamers shouldn't play online. Exactly. That's essentially what you're saying.
Personally, so, I have no problem with console to console. Like Xbox, PS4, PS4 to Switch to Xbox.
Yeah.
That is fine. But it's just the PC.
Do you have a problem with desktop to laptop?
No.
Come on, these are both PCs. Those are both PCs.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is that the fault you're finding with the PC affects PC players as well.
Explain.
In the larger scheme. Okay, so what's your point against PC? Just give me one. Give me like the two reasons or so.
For instance, now I'll use Destiny 2 as an example, because Destiny 2 on PC is way, way, way different from Destiny 2 on PS4. Like there's 30 frames versus 60 frames. We are not playing at the same speed.
Okay.
So there's that already. Not just remove cheaters from it.
My counter to that is that the game company, if you're going to play cross-platform, can reduce from the 60 FPS to 30 FPS if you want to play cross-platform. That's a simple solution.
So now set a frame rate cap for multiple.
So go on. What's next?
For multiplayer games.
Cross-platform
should be encouraged. There should be. This is also a way to challenge the consoles to move from 30 FPS to 60 FPS.
Yeah.
If they want to reach, they don't have to play with console players. Maybe they have a choice.
Which is what's happening. Because come December, when the Series X comes out or the PS5 comes out, it's going to be pulling more weight than some PCs.
Yeah. So my thoughts with this, I think that I'm all for crossplay across all platforms, including PC. Quite frankly, like I think it's like Rotimi said or Torrent Senpai said, I think it's a job of developers to kind of figure that out. I mean, there are things like Punk Buster and all these things that prevent cheating. Some people decide not to include those kind of DRM things in the game because they feel like it drops a couple of frames. But I don't think it drops all that many frames. The frames you're thinking about is like three frames. I don't think that's that big a deal. Yeah, that's the difference between 57 and 60. But if you put DRM on your game, then you're not going to have as much cheating. And basically, I've had some really awesome cross-play experiences with shooters. In particular, I've played with Torrent Senpai Liar Made It on PC with when it comes to Call of Duty Modern Warfare or Warzone. And Yes, and then we also played Gears crossplay, cross-platform, and that was freaking fantastic, and it was great. And the funny thing is, if you ask the people that actually play, not the ones that just kind of assume it's going to be bad or just read stuff and think, oh, this reinforces my point of view, blah 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 blah. But if you actually play it, you can see you can have a very very good experience, and you can see that some that like I've played in a match against almost all. I was like the only person that had a mouse and keyboard in that match, and the console players were freaking good. What's it called? Draco Lad was good. Torrent Senpai was good. Barakat was good. Katsuragatsu was good. All the other guys were good. They were good. I had to keep up. I was like, okay, yo, shit, yeah, because there's some benefits of playing with a controller. There's some benefits of playing with mouse and keyboard.
So are you saying that you were bad at
I'm just going to ignore that troll content and keep it moving. So I am completely for crossplay. I think what needs to be fixed is instead of complaining and saying no, ban, don't ever do this. I think what we should say is okay, let's find a problem for cheaters. I mean, Warzone ban, like. Awesome band, 70,000? Was it end up being 70,000 players banned?
They started putting them in games by themselves, actually. That's what they're doing now.
Yes, but it actually like, also,
they're creating, I mean, that's
what... But they also actually outright banned like what 50,000 or 70,000 accounts, I can't remember. 70,000 accounts worldwide.
A lot of people to ban.
Yeah. So as far as I'm concerned, they're trying to handle it, and I don't think Torrent Senpai says, I don't think you should spoil it for the rest of them who are trying to just have some fun with friends on cross platforms, playing on the platform they enjoy, but wanting to play with each other.
Burn the heretics. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, so I mean. That was a really, that's it. We made the 30 minutes. We've talked about the three topics we wanted to talk about. So quick one, let's just sign off. There are four of us here.
What? We are on time?
Yes, we're on time. So let's talk about.
Enjoy cast first, everyone.
Hey, enjoy cast first. All right, let's talk about quick plugs. Let's talk about what are we playing right now? Let's start. Let's just go down the list. We can start with Torrent Senpai, then Saint Ben, then Chai Sly Dude, and I'll wrap it up.
All right. Now I haven't played any game this week. I've been working. Sucks.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
What did you play last week?
Call of Duty. I played Call of Duty mainly last week. Then I visited Los Santos.
Nice.
Visited Los Santos for a while. And then Division 2.
Division 2. Nice one.
Very nice. I guess I'm next. So this week, I finished Final Fantasy VII Remake, which was chef's kiss. Amazing. So after that, I've gone back to do the post game for Dragon Quest XI, which, man, that game has taken 90 hours of my life, and I.
Wait,
I'm sorry, what now? Did you? Who said that? Okay, now, don't worry. I know. But yeah, so living my JRPG life. I'm probably going to play Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah. I just remembered another one. I started playing a game called Creature in the Well.
Oh.
I think it's an indie game. Should be 4 hours long.
Ooh.
Okay, for me, I finished Final Fantasy VII Remake. I'm on my way to just taking my time, Platinum Minutes, till this week. Playing Apex Legends, playing Street Fighter V, I'm playing War of the Visions on mobile. And by next week or this week, I've already started playing. I will start playing Persona 5 Royal.
Oh, nice!
Ooh. Wait, okay, we'll have a discussion later. You know what I mean?
Okay. So, nice one, guys. You guys are playing some really cool games. I have recently finished Dead Cells. I mean, I know you can play infinitely by beating all the bosses, essentially. And I did that in seven playthroughs. So that was very interesting. What else have I been playing? I've been playing Call of Duty Warzone. I've been playing The Division 2 with Lanre from IX Games / Joysticks, right? And I've also been playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. I've been playing, I finished the Cinder Shadows DLC for Fire Emblem, which means I have to do another run through of the main game because now there's new content unlocked. Oh my god. So there's new content unlocked, so I have to go through that.
We need to delete this game. We need to delete this game and the whole puzzle needs to be destroyed.
Half of the Nintendo account, I'm like, I don't know, unbuy it. I don't even
ban him from playing this forever.
Ooh, but that game is sweet. And then of course I'm also playing Dishonored 2. I finished Dishonored 1 earlier. I've also finished Beyond Two Souls. I'm looking to start Detroit Become Human. That's another one of my backlog. But first I'm going to finish Final Fantasy VII Remake. That's my main thing. I'm pretty much done with Division now, but we're just in the end game, and I'll be looking forward to turning my time to Dragon Quest 11. Yes.
It will take up all your time.
It's okay.
Oh my god.
Clearly I'm used to that.
90 hours.
And there's still stuff to do.
Oh my god. I haven't even done any of the 2D stuff. None. Oh my god. But yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot. I actually did play something else. This was part of, like, I tried PS Plus for 1 month, so I downloaded this while I had it, Until Dawn. I played Until Dawn, which I didn't do too bad. I think I only lost one of the kids. I only lost one of them. Only one of them died, so I think I tried. Murder. And it was the black one. Murder. It was the black one that died. Typical. Typical horror movies, horror kids, the black guy dies first.
Peace, booyah, ho ho ho, in your face.
Glory to mankind. Yeah.
death to COVID 19.
All right.
Stay home, wash your hands, clean your controllers, don't touch your face.
Are we still recording?
Of course, I have to put this at.
Oh my god!
I have to put this at the end now. Stop it now. I have to put this at the end so everyone can know what Rosumi is like. Thanks for listening to our podcast, guys. Don't forget to subscribe. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at JoysticksNG. That's JoysticksNG. We also make awesome YouTube videos. You can check out our channel, Joysticks Entertainment. We have tons of content up and more coming every single week. We just covered the Kingdom Hearts Remind DLC boss battle with Xehanort. Subscribe there too so you don't miss any of the exciting stuff we've got coming your way. And see you in the next one.